All right, our reading is taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse number 1. Please follow along as I am reading the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'Oh Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Amen." Now I want you to just turn and look at somebody. Ain't touching them. Just look at them. Just look at them. And as you look at them, I want you to say, "Neighbor,
I can't stop
praising his name.
Neighbor,
I can't stop praising his name." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I Can't Stop Praising His Name." Now, I know there's some concerns and understanding. Well, how in the world did you get here, Pastor? Well, if you go on this journey with me, you'll see. What we see here in this journey is a reality. And what God never wants us to do is try to live in fantasy when he's showing us the reality. The reality is just what it is, real. And what God has done is that he took Ezekiel, had him go to this valley, set him down in the middle of the valley, and the valley was full of bones. And once he took him there, he led him all around. Do we see it in Scripture? He led him all around and let him see. And he himself saw that this valley was filled with very many, and they were very dry. Now, what we're seeing is Ezekiel giving us the insight of what he saw. And what he saw, y'all, was real from that perspective. Real in that it appeared that God had taken him to a place which had no life. God had taken him to a place where there was nothing but death. You see, when you talk about dry bones, When folks see dry bones, that means that there's no life in that place. And that's saying that the area was arid because it was dry, which means that the bones, like if you step on them, you know, they get crunchy. And it wasn't like he saw skeletons. They were just scattered. So you don't know who was who and whose bone was who. But it was a place that was dry. And then God has the audacity to ask a question. And the question that God poses to Ezekiel, he said to him, "Mortal, can these bones live?" The audacity to ask Ezekiel, "Is there life around us? Can that which you see is dead, can it live again? Or is it done?" And he raises this question to him. After Reverend Flippin, he took them all around. So with his physical eye, he didn't see life. He saw death. And then God asked the question. I got to laugh at myself sometimes. Asked him the question, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Now, it would have been very easy for Ezekiel just to say, "No." But what Ezekiel knew, Evangelist Mayo, he knew the history of God and his people. He knew that God is the one that freed them out of Egypt. He knew God was the one that parted the Red Sea. He knew God was the one who provided food for them for 40 years while they were in the wilderness. He knew God was the one that got water out of a rock. He knew God was the one who took them into the promised land, blessed them while they were there. So he understood that God has the power. He did say no, but he didn't say it from the negative. Because he said, "Lord God, you know." And the reason why he said that was based on his understanding of the power of God. He was not going to allow his thinking to shrink the power of God. He said he's going to believe more in what God, "I know what you can do. And I'm going to believe that more than I believe what I think." That's where we get into problems, my brothers and sisters, is when we depend on what we think rather than what God knows. We get in a problem every time when we start thinking too much rather than looking to the one who what? Knows. So what Ezekiel was not going to do was put himself in a position to where he was going to push God aside and believe what he wanted to believe because he was going to base it on what he saw. So what God wants to understand and know from us, are you able to still say, "God, you know," when what your eye sees is everything that's wrong? There's always going to be wrong around us, my brothers and sisters. There's always going to be something around us. But are you still able to say, "Lord, you know"? Because I know what I see, but I know that you know. So what am I going to believe? What I think or what you know? And I want you to understand, in order for us to make our transition to truly move into the power of God and letting God's will be done, we have to get past what we think. Because as long as we're relying on what we think, don't you know what we think is too small? What we think has limits? What we think is caught in a box. What we think only can go but so far. But when we look to God and say, Lord, you know, and I'm going to trust in what you know, then we automatically knock down the walls. We remove the restrictions. There are no longer any limits. Everything becomes limitless because, God, I'm not relying on what I think or what I know, because, God, I know that you are the creator of all things. I know that there's nothing too hard for my God. So, Lord, whatever it is, I'm taking the pressure off myself, and I'm going to say, Lord, you know. Isn't that what happened here? You see, once we're able to make this transition, Deacon Wiley, then God can use us. Because at that point, we're not going to rely on what we think. We're going to rely on what God already knows. Oh, somebody working with me. So what has happened here? Once that happened, then God said, now I can use you. Because look at it now. Because he says to him, after he says that, now I'm going to have you do something. I'm going to have you prophesy. I'm going to have you prophesy to these bones. And tell these bones what I'm going to tell you. And as you prophesy to them, because right now they all broke up. Right now they're all scattered. Right now, they're in despair. Right now, there's no life in them. But if you do as I instruct you, I want you to know that they will live. You see, my brothers and my sisters, everybody who God is going to use, and when we're going to do ministry, when God uses us and moves us forward to do ministry, he isn't going to send us to the place that has a whole lot of life to it. He's going to send us to the place that's just like a whole bunch of. And God wants to know, will you believe me? Will you go with what I know? Will you get past your own thoughts and put your trust in me? I don't care how dead it might appear. I don't care how dry it is. But if you do as I instruct you, I'm telling you, I'll bring upon the change. But you can't rely on yourself. You got to rely on me. Anybody ever been in a dry situation in your life? Anybody been in a situation where you wasn't sure how you was going to make it to another day, get through another week, stay in where the house you're living in? Being able to drive the car you drive because things seemed like they were starting to get a little dry, but you didn't rely on what you believe. You started calling on the name of the Lord and said, Lord, I need your help. And didn't the Lord make a way out of no way? Do I got any witnesses in God's house who you've been in a dry situation, but when you spoke as God told you to speak, when you did as God told you to do, didn't the Lord take it and do something with it? Hold on, work with me. We ain't get there yet. What we got to understand here is that now Ezekiel is now walking around prophesying. He walking around preaching. And he ain't getting no amens. He walking around preaching. He ain't hearing a whole lot. But then I want you to know, Digging Booth, something happens. That as he continues to preach, as God calls him to preach, there was a noise in the place. There was a rattling in the place. And I want you to know what the rattling was all the body, all the bones coming back together again. The ligaments was connecting the bones together again. There was a whole bunch of rattling going on. Not a whole bunch of shouting, but a whole bunch of God making everything that was broken. God was coming and making it whole again. I'm telling you, when we do as God instructs us, don't you know God will bring life? Because look, y'all, look at this. Look at this. As he preached, as he prophesied, what we're seeing is that all the bones came back together and the ligaments, that's the sinews, was holding everything together. And as that happened, then all of a sudden they started getting the muscles on the bones. And as that happened, then all of a sudden the skin covered them all up. And now I want you to know that all the things that were broken have now been made whole. But they're still not breathing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's a process. Now, what we have to understand about this process is this. As long as a glass is broke, I don't care how much water you pour in it. Are you working with me? If a glass is broke, no matter how much water you pour in it, it's going to come right on out. But what we're saying here is this. Before God can give it breath and give it life, He first has to make us physically whole. Think about it now. They're all there. No matter how separated the bones were, they were all brought together, and all the bodies are now there. They all have flesh on them. They all have skin on them, but they still don't have life. And I can see Ezekiel looking and seeing that, wait a minute, now they ain't dry bones no more. I'm looking at a whole bunch of people who are here who are now, I can recognize who they are, but they still aren't breathing. You see, now God said, now what you got to understand is a process, Ezekiel. You see, because before I can put life in them, I got to put their lives back together again. I got to make them whole again. I got to let them understand that no matter, see, when you have been so toe up from the flow up and you have been so disjointed and so broke up, God's got to put you back together before he does anything else with you. God's got to make you whole physically so he can anoint you spiritually. You see, my brothers and my sisters, there are too many folk who want God to anoint them spiritually, but they still have yet to be made whole. They are not whole yet, and until you get whole, God can't anoint you and put stuff in you, because if he put it in you too soon, it's going to just leak right on out. So what has happened here? He says, now I want you to prophesy, preach to the four winds. Tell them to come on in and breathe in them. You see, when I look at this breath, this also is the same word that can be translated spirit. You see, that there's two things. Yes, we need breath in our lungs, but we need spirit to it, and the anointing of God in us to help us realize there's nobody but God who is blessing us. And once they were blessed, and now that they truly have received the breath, it tells us that at the end of verse number 10, they stood up on their feet. A vast multitude. Isn't that what it says? They stood up on their feet, but they couldn't stand up until they were first made whole, and then they received the spirit and the breath of life. Once they received the spirit and the breath of life and they have been made whole, then they could stand up. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what God wants us to ask, wants to know from us is why you're still sitting. You see, if God has made you whole and God has breathed his breath of life in you and have anointed you with his Holy Spirit, why are you still sitting? Because God wants to know that if I'm the one who brought you to where you are and I've turned your life around, why are you still sitting? But what he goes on a little further and lets us know is that in verse number 11, he now explains what this is really all about. It's really all about a group of folk, all of the house of Israel, have made this statement here in verse number 11. Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off what? Completely. Why are they cut off completely? It's called sin. They are there in Babylon in captivity because of what? Sin. Because of the fact that they truly offended God and turned away from the one who blessed them with everything they have. They allowed sin to dominate. And don't you know the whole purpose of sin getting in our lives is if sin gets deep enough in our lives, sin wants to suck the life out of us. And when sin sucks the life out of us, then it puts us in a situation where we feel dried up. And once we start feeling dried up, what happens to us? We all of a sudden, we start to lose hope. And once we begin to lose hope, we realize that we are no longer connected to God. We've truly been cut off, and we've been cut off because of the sins that we've committed. But when I look at this, I also see something metaphorically, which really excites me about the God whom we serve. It excites me about our Savior, Jesus Christ, our big brother who came, who stepped down through 42 generations to create an opportunity for you and I. Because when Jesus came to this earth was just like a whole bunch of dry bones. Don't you know, wherever he looked, he saw nothing but dry bones. But I am so excited that when Jesus came, he saw the situation, but he would not allow the situation to overcome him, because he came to overcome the situation. Jesus came to bring upon change, and by Jesus coming, he came and he made and did what we couldn't do. Because guess what? Don't you know, when they hung him on that cross and he died on that cross, they thought they had him, and that himself himself, he was going to turn into a whole bunch of dry bones. But what I'm here to tell you, that early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He got up with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He got up to let us know that I have overcome. I am resurrected. I'm going to resurrect you from the sin that once had you bound. I've come to set you free. I'm going to let you know you're no longer going to be dried up. I'm here to let you know you can have hope again. I'm here to let you know you ain't been cut off and you still are connected. Isn't that the reason why we're in church today? It's because the Lord has blessed us, healed us, and set us free. That's why I want you to know I can't stop praising his name, because he's been mighty good to me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody in here been dry before? Anybody in here been hopeless before? Anybody in here felt disconnected before? I tell you, that's why I just can't stop praising his. All God wants us to understand, what he was doing with Ezekiel, was letting us know what our big brother Jesus was going to do for us. We were a whole bunch of dry bones, going nowhere, doing nothing, cut off. And guess what, y'all? It was all our fault, Deacon Jones. If God didn't do it, we did it to ourselves. But rather than just let us sink in our own despair, God sent our big brother Jesus. That's what I see when I look at Jesus, is nothing but grace and mercy. And when he got to us, folk thought our lives was over. Folk thought we were finished, because the evidence said that we were dry. The evidence showed we had no hope. The evidence showed that we were cut off. But I am so thankful that Jesus Christ came when others thought it was too late. But he came right on time. And he made a way out of no way. And he blessed us, brought us from a nothing, and made something out of us. Look at what our God has done. And you mean to tell me we can come to church and sit here and act like ain't no big deal? But I'm here to tell you that I can't stop praising his name, because I know where I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be where I am right now. And the only reason I am where I am right now, his name is. And since Jesus has made a way out of no way, I just can't praise him. Do I got anybody else in here who knows how good God is, knows how good he's been, and know what he brought you through? I tell you, I can't stop, because he's been better to me than I've been to my. Oh, we have been in the valley, and the Lord has brought us out. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But you know what? We needed more than a rod and a staff for us, y'all. Because we was dry bone. We were so dried up that the animals even didn't want to crack on them bones. Because if they could crack the bones, there wasn't no marrow inside. I'm just telling you what our God had to work with. We ain't give God a whole lot to work with. But our God is the creator of everything. So all God needs to get started is called nothing. Because once you got God, you got everything that you need. Because all of us was a whole bunch of nothing. But now that the Lord has blessed us and brought us somebody a long way, I'm here to tell you, you still ain't all out of a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. You're just a nothing that God did something with. So that's why you got to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. That's why I can't stop praising his name. Because where would I be if I didn't have Jesus? Do I got anybody who understands that? Do I got anybody who ain't ashamed to thank him? Do I got anybody who ain't ashamed to worship him? Do I got anybody who knows that if it had not been for the Lord, where would I be? I can't stop praising. Oh, my brothers and sisters. I know we're dealing with some real stuff in this world right now. We're dealing with some real stuff in this world right now. What is happening to us these days? We don't have no point of reference. We don't. Because none of us was here last time something like this happened. But now, the reality is this. Are you going to move forward in what you think? Or are you going to move forward in what God knows? I'm moving forward on what God knows. Because as long as I'm moving forward in what God knows, I'm going to be all right. And that ain't just my story. That's also your story. And I want you to understand something. You came to church today. Praise God. But don't you dare look at somebody else who didn't come and say, see, your faith ain't like my faith. I want you to know your faith has grown to this point. It ain't happened overnight. So rather than look down at somebody, you ought to go home today and somebody who you don't see in church, give them a call. And just say, you know what? Missed you today. I know you got issues about that. That's all right. I'm praying with you. But I'm just praying that you don't let it bind you. Because all the enemy's trying to do is use this to bind you. Now, I ain't asking you to be stupid. If you see a If you walk into a place where you know there's 100 folk in there and all of them got COVID-19, don't you walk in the middle of them and say, I got this, Lord. No, no, Lord ain't asking you to be stupid now. If the Lord ain't sending you there, don't you go there. But I want you to know what better place for us to be on a Sunday morning than to put ourselves in the hand of the one who took us from a nothing and made something out of us. Isn't that what God did? Yes. So you, when you all leave this place, you ought to call somebody. Mm-hmm. Encourage them. Yes. Let them know that the walls ain't turned colors and the pews still held you. And God blessed. Yes. Call them and encourage them. Encourage. Why? Because I can't stop. Can't stop. I won't stop. I will not stop. Because he brought me too far. I didn't get here because of myself. I got to where I am because there's nobody but Jesus. Nobody but the Lord made a way out of no way. And since he did, that's why whenever we come up in here, we ain't got to wait for somebody to tell us what to do and how to do it. Because I know how good he's been. I know how far he's brought me. I know how he's blessing me. I know I didn't get to where I am. The reason why I know I'm all right is because I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters, do I got any folk who are covered in God's house? I know there's stuff around us, but we're covered. We are covered in his blood. We are watched over by him. He might even send a few guardian angels around there. Where folk are trying to send something my way, God said, no, it won't, and he kicked it out the way. But let me help you understand something. Let me help you. Let me take it a little deeper with you. You see, there were three young men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said that I can't stop praising his name. I heard you, Deacon Wally. And because of that, I know I'm messing with y'all. Y'all need to stop over there. Because y'all know I told y'all I hear it all. But what has happened with y'all, can have a seat for just a minute, because I need to give you this. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylon. They were in captivity. But they themselves, once we see King Nebuchadnezzar built this 90-foot golden image statue of himself and told them, once the music plays, everybody going to bow down and worship. But you know what these three brothers said? I hear the music, but I don't dance to that music. I don't bow to that music. And all the others who were there with him were bowing and said, y'all, come on, y'all going to bow. They're going to burn y'all. He said he's going to put you in the furnace if you don't bow down. And you know what they said? I can't stop praising his name. There's no way I'm bowing down to this. So they took them, and he gave them another chance. He said, you can give as many chances as you want. They said, well, I'm going to throw you in the fire. He said, well, either God is going to save us in the fire or God's going to bring us through the fire. But one way or another, I can't stop praising his name. And don't you know when he threw them? in the fire. The expectation was for them to burn up. But you know what happened when he threw them in the fire? They didn't go in there. It appeared they went in by themselves. But when they got in there, there was somebody to hold them up. Don't you know, I don't care where you go. If you are a child of God, you ain't ever going by yourself. When you say, I can't stop praising his name, the Lord is with us wherever we are. He's blessing us wherever we are. He's going to get us through wherever we are. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do you know that the Lord is with you? Do you know that God is blessing you? Do you know that God is keeping you? I tell you, I can't stop praising his name.